All right, so we're going to come back from the adjournment for our public hearing for August 20th. And the next appeal we're going to hear is Appeal 5690, which is Sawmill Lane, LLC. And I see we have representatives of both the Corps and for the owner. So I will go ahead and, well, are you, Ms. Jeffries, are you going to be testifying or saying anything?
No.
Okay. Then you don't have to be sworn in, unless you want. You want to go on the record for whatever reason, but if you do, I can swear you in later. So, actually, before we swear in, though, can you state your name for the record and your spelling?
Stephen Skirkanich. Stephen with a PH, and Skirkanich is Skirkanich.
All righty. And then, sir?
Yeah, Dan Snyder, Snyder.
Yeah, I just know he's the problem with it. All right. All right, so if I can get you both to raise your hands. Do you swear that the evidence that you shall give in this matter shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, let the record show that both the commissioner's office and the appellant's representative swore it in. So, yeah, so generally the way we work it is we'll allow the appellant to just have a brief opening statement, you know, basically let's sort of like get to the point, this is what we're looking for. Well, the Corps give their opening statement, which should be addressing whatever your concerns are. And then at that point, board members will start asking questions. We just ask that you refer to the board members, not between each other, because you're appealing to the board. I will be paying attention, of course. I mean, somebody, board member or the commission says something, you like want to respond, I'll look and get back to you, and same with the Corps. So, any questions before we start?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Snyder, if you will go ahead and start.
Obviously, for the record, my name is Dan Snyder. I'm with Pleasance Development, LLC. We're the agent for Sawmill Lane, LLC, who's the owner of the property here. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. I recognize some of your faces. I don't know if you guys recognize that to me. But we had a lengthy discussion on this same property last year. We bought the property back in May of 2021. When we purchased the property, the current assessment was around $1 million. It was raised to $2.6 million, and that was commensurate with our purchase price, and so we didn't have any issue with that raising, and if we felt that was fair. The purchase price, obviously, being higher than the assessment, was based upon the ability to hopefully develop the property. As we mentioned, then last year, the assessment was raised and was $1 million, and we appealed that assessment based upon the fact that, you know, we had only submitted a preliminary plan. We did not have any approval. And the board at that last year agreed that that was the case, that without approvals, we can't sell anything, but there's no value added to the property just on the fact that we had submitted a plan. And so here we are this year. I guarantee you won't see me here next year because I'll be fired if we're in the same position. But we are in the same position. We still have not got the preliminary plan approved. We are continuing to work through issues with staff in development review. And those issues, we're on our third review now for our CPAP plan. So we are trying to get there. It's just we have not got there yet. And so basically we're in the same position where there is no additional value. We can't sell it for any more. Anybody coming in would have to assume and start over with the plans. And it's, we agree that, you know, the purchase price we paid, looking back on it now, I wish we hadn't paid so much because my owner's raising that. But anyways, that is where we are. And so I would ask that the board, recognize that and come to the same conclusion that was last year, that there is no additional value to this firm. Until once we get approval, I would have no qualm with an increased assessment.
Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Mr. Skirkanich?
Yeah, I just And I'm not so much disagreeing with Mr. Snyder, but I just want to point out that from the county's perspective, this is a by right development project, and they filed an SBPR application. And I just want to point out that the SBPR application, it's not a preliminary plat application that needs to be approved so you can go on to the next step. It's a combination and abbreviated process that they applied for. So it's a plat of the subdivision that meets all the requirements of both the preliminary plat and the record plat. So it's submitted as one, so there's no middle step. And so you might say that kind of creates a problem for the county because there's no intermediary step where the preliminary plat gets approved, and then you continue on working the application. This is kind of a 0 to 100 kind of scenario. They purchased the property in May 2001 for $2.75 million. Since then, they've engineered a site plan for 20 cluster lots, 4 rural economy lots. They paid the fee, the land application, bond estimate, CPAP, the Phase 1 archaeological survey. They've all been submitted. They're in plat Tier 3 review, version 2, which per Eric Blankenship at NBND, BND's goal is to get everybody approved by the time you're in Tier 3. But it doesn't always happen. So that just, I only bring that up because it shows that they've put considerable effort into the engineering, which I would say the county disagrees. The engineering does add value to the property. Anybody looking at this property, doing their due diligence, would see the site plan. They would see that it's not done, but they would see that it is very near done. So that does add value. So we do feel that it should be valued on a per lot basis, and that's how we valued it this year, which is a little bit more than it was when they purchased it, which is in line with the market. The market's gone up just for land around the county.
Okay, thank you. Board members, questions? Mr. Fugue?
One for Steve, if I may. Is this the value that the county has placed on it? Would this be the same value as if the site plan were approved today?
No. Once the site plan gets approved, there would be no discount rate on the land. So that's the thing. There's no intermediary step. So once the application gets approved, those are finished lots.
Maybe I'm not asking the question
clearly.
If the site plan were already approved, this 3.8, would that be the number that the assessment would be?
No, it would be higher. It would be higher because there's no discount rate.
Okay, all right, that's perfect.
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Snyder, if I may. Specifically, what are your outstanding issues on this?
We are going through some environmental issues with our CPAP plan. And we are going through zoning issues as far as setback issues, as far as meeting the criteria of the layout. And as well as stormwater management issues.
Again, what do you mean by, I'm trying to get my arms wrapped around it because I understand the process.
Right.
What environmental hurdles do you have?
We have to do a report because of the location of the facility. There's concern about a turtle, the woodland turtle in this location. There's concern about there's concern with we have the bat issue to deal with now as well. So we're working through those issues, and we're going to get through.
Okay.
we believe we can get through those issues, but it is still very much a work in progress.
Okay. Well, we got to take care of the turtles. That's cool. I mean that sincerely. How about the setback issues? What's that?
It's a matter of with the distance and as far as there's an interpretation of the frontage, and because of the site configuration, there is various the configuration of lots. What's the definition of the front of
what's
the lot?
What's the front? What's the side?
And the ratio from width to length,
yep,
and all that. And when you're trying to do an environmentally sensitive plan, which we are, your lot lines get configured such, and so you end up having a debate as far as does this meet the criteria or the intent of the ordinance.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Kearse.
So I think the answer, I don't know the answer to this, but a yes or no question, as of 12/31/2023, could I have gone out and purchased one of those lots to build a house on?
No.
No, so it hasn't been done yet. I know there's a kind of a standard in a residential lot, raw land, unbuilt, but approved for a single family residential. What's the number the county uses to assess that? Is it based on the acreage solely out west?
Well, yeah, it depends.
What I'm trying to get at is if this process was finished, and he's got his approval for the 24 lots, what would that land assessment roughly go up to?
It'd be about 40% more.
About 40% more.
Yeah, because it's discounted because we understand the process of development. He's going to incur costs and all that. That's part of the process. All we're saying is he bought raw land. He bought a house in 122 acres. And that's fine. That's a house in 122 acres. He said, hey, we're going to put 24 lots on it. And he did the engineering work. The engineering work is what changes the highest and best use from a house on 122 acres to 24 lots from the county's perspective. So we now look at it as anybody would. If you were going to buy this property, if you said, look, we can't do this anymore, we're taking a bath or it's too much money or whatever the reason, anybody buying this property would not ignore the development plat that's been submitted. They would look at it and try and figure out if they could pick it up and run with it where it is and save them money. So the value of the land wouldn't go back to what they paid for it. It would be more than what they paid for it because of what they put into it.
So is this a standard policy and practice of the county that when an application has come in, such as this one, for approval for basically higher density, that the county will take into account the engineering cost into the assessment? And how do you determine what that number is?
Well, we have a discount rate we apply, and we've sat down with Mr. Snyder and discussed our valuation methodology, and we've asked for costs, and we've been denied those costs. I'm not saying I blame them, but I'm just saying we've been denied the actual costs and the actual stuff. I mean, we know there's problems, but from a development perspective, there's rarely not any issues. So that's as far as we're concerned, that's taken into account in the discount rate. Yeah, sure, there could be more, but that's up for them to communicate to us and say, like, hey, you know, look, we're having this issue, and it's really impacting our development, you know, process. It's going to take us 2 years longer than what we thought. And then we'll be like what we thought. So we can probably work within that scope. But short of that, all I see is the application. I see the applications moving forward. I talk to Building and Development. Building and Development says, yeah, their application's moving forward. I see that Building and Development says, yeah, you know, normally by now these applications are approved and there's been substantial engineering work done. And that to me means, oh, you paid X for the sale and then you dumped X into it. It's reasonable to assume the market would give that back. Yeah, are they done? No. But we're not saying they're done. We're saying this is a per lot basis and each lot's been discounted to account for development costs. So there's still plenty of money left on the table to work within his time frame. That's all the county's saying.
So what if this project isn't approved?
It's a by right project, so there's no option where it can't be approved.
Okay, so, but there's issues they still have to work
well,
out, but you can't.
Sure. I mean, like, he's got to jump through the hoops. That's the development process, but can the process be turned down? No. So there are hoops. He's got to meet all the requirements throughout the process. We understand that. That's why there's a discount rate on the lots. And because of the type of application he filed, there's no intermediary step. So once he's done, whether he's broken ground or not or plans to, these lots go from where they are now to 40%, 50%, 60% more based on whatever the market is that year. And we go from there. There's no looking back.
So to just go back to my very first point, so this is the way the county this is all such projects by right development, multiple. This is this process of somebody submits the paperwork to start the process.
Yes.
Then the county will look at what the potential value is, and then based on the cost, you'll discount it until such time that they're given the approval.
Correct. Yeah, any application for development comes in, we take the application, we look at it, find out what it is, townhouses, condos, piggybacks, whatever, and then we apply a per lot basis to it, and that's where it gets picked up. And it doesn't get picked up mid-year, it gets picked up January 1 the next year. And then from that point forward, it's on a per lot basis, which, you know, of all the development applications, there's, you know, most of the developers feel it's okay because they don't complain. And normally, I think they don't complain because normally we're on the low side. And, you know, I get there are issues, you know, and there are one-offs. We understand that, but we can't work with what we don't know. And from there's nothing in the plans that says there's problems.
Okay, Mr. Snyder, if you want to address, and then Ms. Goodman.
Yeah, we work in multiple jurisdictions, and this Loudoun County, and this is, you know, my first project in Loudoun. Hopefully not my last. But there's no other jurisdiction that we are in that just the fact that you make an application that is deemed as then you get an assessment on a per lot basis. They may raise this based upon the zone or based upon whatever else, but there's no other place that we work that this happens. And that's why we were shocked when we got this, you know, a year ago. It was totally foreign to us. And then I would say that I hope that this plan gets approved, but there is absolutely the potential for the plan to get denied or the number of lots to get substantially reduced. It's a by right, but you have to meet the criteria to make it work.
Right.
Your profitability going to suffer if you have more hoops to go through.
And I would say that if somebody picked up this project, they may go work the other way. Say, oh, look what these guys got into. We're not touching this thing, and it devalues the property. When we bought it, we anticipated a yield, and that yield would be dramatically reduced. To what it is right now. So, that would be my only comment on the
Ms. Goodrum, and then I'll have
you go. So my question is, before this started, for our reference, we were provided a great PowerPoint that Brian Williams has his name on. And it was a presentation provided to the Board of Supervisors at the beginning of 2024 and showing countywide residential reevaluation. Rural parcels went up by 9.52% between 2023 and 2024. And I'm trying to understand, for this particular plot, the change in land value between 2023 and 2024, $904,250 or 69.4%. Why was there such a big difference between the 2023 and 2024 valuation in the land for this particular project?
Well, you guys lowered the land last year. You lowered the land last year.
Okay, and I don't
so,
remember.
No, it's okay.
If you can knock us up.
Well, so, so to your point, you said the market went up 9% last year,
9%.
Just kind of in general.
Yes,
right?
9%.
Yeah, right? So they bought this property in May of 2021, probably contracted it a year or two earlier. So if you just look at that, the number just on the appreciation standpoint, our number's not that far out of whack. Yes, last year you guys lowered the value from where we were, but the big difference in value is because when they bought it in 21, it was a farm, and now it's a 24-lot subdivision, as far as we're concerned. And we're not saying it's done, but for this, by the same token, if you buy a lot and then you go back a year later and there's a lot and a house, well, the assessment's going to be drastically different. So that, from our standpoint, it's a very different product than what was there originally.
So my question, I guess, is the follow-up is, when I'm looking at the categories and the PowerPoint of the things that have gone up, do you not consider this rural land anymore? Would you categorize it as AR1 or something different?
Well, it's not it's not so much rural land as it is a 24-lot subdivision. So it's not 122 acres, it's 24 lots. From the county's perspective.
I think the cows would disagree.
Yeah.
well said.
You know, I mean,
Ms. Goodham, did you?
That was it. I mean, you've answered my question. But still, I guess, my follow-up question is, are you similarly valuing other developments like Mr. Snyder's?
Yes. They're all being valued the same. As soon as we get approval, if it's voted on by the Board of Supervisors, you know, it's written up in the paper, we read the minutes from the Board of Supervisors meeting. Mm-hmm. Once that happens and there's plans for us to look at, we go through the plans and we build out, I mean, on our end, it's a worksheet, and we say, okay, now we take that lot or those parcels, and they're valued on a per lot basis,
okay,
based on what they say they're doing with the property. And, you know, we know it, there's a time frame involved. We're not saying that, but you know, his is 24. Some of these subdivisions are, you know, 400, 500, 600 units, and we know that's going to take a long time, but they get a discount rate on every one of the units that we have. So it's, you know, that from our perspective, it's more than enough to compensate them for their development costs. And if they have other costs, they're welcome to share that. We ask them for it. Nobody does, but they're welcome to share the information, and we'll adjust our model accordingly. But you know, nobody shares information with us.
Mr. Tendale.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
So you said that the 24-lot subdivision, so out of 100-plus hectares, it has come to 24 lots?
Yeah.
Okay.
20 cluster lots, rural economy lots.
And according to you, I mean, when did the appellant stop the making development? Did he stop it, or...?
No, their process is ongoing. They're farther now than they were 6 months ago,
okay,
or 8 months ago.
What it takes to approve these lots by the county?
I'm not in building and development. I can't answer.
No, but I mean, the application is still pending, right?
The application is still pending.
Why
but
is
that's
it
not,
pending? I mean,
what's
like
that?
Anything else he needs to do?
I don't know what's left on his to-do list. I'm not part of that process. We're saying... All I'm saying is he gave me information that made me change what I consider to be the highest and best use for that land,
okay,
based on what he told me, and we changed it, and that is valued accordingly.
So according to you, Mr. Snyder, what else you need to develop? I mean, like invest more money or?
We're going through the plan process, so we have to complete our CPAP plan, construction plan, and profile plan.
Okay.
And then once that plan's approved, then we can go back through and submit the final plat. But there again, that we're in that process, and it's not complete. So because of that, there is no value there that we could sell.
So, but Mike, I have a couple of questions on that. So, how much more money you need to invest? And secondly, are you interested to pursue further, or you want to stop it here and you would like to rethink and what to?
No, I'd like to keep my job, so we're going to keep going. But, we are intent to try to keep going.
Okay.
We've never said we're not, but what I would say is from the county's perspective and from a government perspective, from a public perspective, the fact that you're valuing something that you can't sell, that you can't approve, you don't know what it's going to be.
It's like a work in progress.
Yeah, once we're approved, I would have no issue with what Stephen's saying, but Matt, we're at this in-between stage right now.
So you
and he's valuing it on a 24. What if we end up with two lots? You know, then saying, okay, that, and because this process, there is no other county that I'm aware of that does this. Montgomery County, Maryland does. I'm from Maryland, so I'm new to the Virginia world, but Montgomery County doesn't, you know, Frederick County, Maryland doesn't. You know, I know Stafford County even, I know we're working down there. So, you know, I'm only telling what I know from my experience, but the fact that you're adding significant value to something that's not approved yet, it just doesn't seem fair to me.
Well, Mr. Kier said a question.
Just in a comment, you mentioned
when the board bangs the gavel, right, and then there's kind of a difference. For example, you see a legislative application that says, I want to build 500 homes on this piece of land, and it comes through the process. And the county doesn't change that assessment from its current use until the board bangs the gavel and says, you can now build your 500 homes on that land. The county says, great, we now tax it as the highest. It's assessed at 500 lots, right?
Right.
In the case here, and in those legislative approvals, the wood turtles, the setback, all that is resolved when the application is approved. The situation here is those things don't, it's a by right development, but all those same issues have to get resolved.
Sure, they have to get sign off on, right, on all the different steps.
So until, in the case of a legislative approval, the county sits back, the elect from as far as changing the value of land, is once it's all done, then it's moved up to the highest value. In the case here, he's still going through that process to get his approvals. And until he gets the process completed, then he can create the individual lots.
Well, then individual lots are created, not that he gets to create them. Once it comes down and says, this is approved, the lots are created, and it's done. As far as we're concerned, there are 24 lots. But yes, it's a process. What I meant was, when if it goes to the Board of Supervisors and they say, hey, we approve the whatever subdivision, that's when we find out about it. We go out and we look for the plans. So we have to have somebody tell us what's going to happen to this lot. I mean, it could be 24 single-family homes. It could be 330 stacked condos. It could be 500 townhouses. You tell me what's going to go here. And then once you tell me that, it doesn't necessarily need to be done. You've shown me the plans. Engineering work isn't cheap. So you're going to say you're going to pay for this, the lot. You're going to do the engineering work. And all we're saying is, yeah, we agree. You're in the process. And in the appraisal world, it's called highest and best use. And once you submit the plans, you can't, the highest and best use changed. It's not farmland anymore. It's not a house on the 122 acres. It's 24 lots. And anybody, if they did decide to step back, somebody who was interested in buying that lot would have to do their due diligence, and they would find the application. They would find the submitted plans. They would find out what's already been approved, what hasn't. They would find out what the problems were, and they would determine whether or not what value they could put on it. But it would certainly be more than just the raw farmland, because this isn't farmland anymore. By every definition in the appraisal dictionary and the highest and best use theory, this is a 24-lot subdivision. I didn't change it. Mr. Snyder did when they submitted the plans. Now, is it approved yet? No. But it doesn't have to be approved. We're saying, we understand there's work to be done. We're applying a discount rate to what we're going to say it's a per lot basis. We're applying a discount rate, so because we know you have whatever, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 per lot still to go. We know it takes time, and that's all the county's saying.
And you, what was the percentage you said that right now they're currently discounted?
40%.
I think it's 40%.
Is that it, Mr. Kearse?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Snyder, then I'll go to Mr. Fugue. Mr. Snyder,
I would say that when we purchased the property, I agree, we purchased it at a price much higher than what farmland price. We purchased it with that, with what the value that Steve's talking about, the potential value. Beyond that, I would argue that it's speculative and that there is no definite answer as far as what we're going to end up with. They're taking the 24 lots, 40, to be valid, 24 lots, 40%. So that's a significant sum, more than what the market was willing to pay for that ground, the potential to develop that ground. We're not in here arguing that it is valued at agricultural ground. The current assessments are way above that. We're arguing that the assessment that we bought it for reflected that potential, and that was the fair price, the fair market price.
Okay. Mr. Fugue, did you have a question?
A couple quick questions. One, what becomes of the residents when this project is approved?
It's going to become a lot. We're maintaining the existing structure.
so that the house will maintain. So yes, it does have value. Okay.
And that's included in their assessment.
I got it. I just wanted to understand it, whether it was being demoed or... You've given compelling testimony, and I remember this case from last year, and so abused. Okay. But I'm hearing two different things. I'm hearing that the approval is imminent, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth. I'm not trying to. But what I'm hearing is that it's imminent. Mr. Snyder, what I'm hearing is it may never get approved. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. You would be the only one, in my estimation, to be able to determine when that will be. When do you think the final approvals will take place?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Your best guess answer, that's all I'm asking.
My best guess answer is, I wish it would have been done 6 months ago and I wouldn't be sitting here, honest to God.
Yes.
And I would have bet you 6 months ago we would have been approved by now. And I relayed that to our board, you know, today when we had our meeting. They said, how much longer? I said, I don't know. I said, we're hitting stuff that couldn't anticipate. Honest to gosh, I wish I could give you a definitive answer, and I can't. You know, I would say that we have, you know, that's my best answer.
3 months, 6 months, 2 years.
It could be on the 2 year time frame. It could be. I hope it's not. Believe me.
I understand.
But honestly, with what the process has been and the length of time, I mean, we're waiting, you know, almost 3 months now to get comments back on the submission. It's everybody's overbooked and running behind. So every cycle is taking 6 months. And with that cycle taking 6 months, you know, if we got three more cycles, we're 18 months.
So that's
where, you know, and to be valued at a price that's only 40% on 24, that's significant. It is a significant number.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and ask a question, so I'm cutting everybody else off. Mr. Snyder, how much did you purchase the property for in 2021?
$2.75 million?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Snyder.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's the one thing we agree on.
Well, and I'm asking because when I read the letter, it seemed to imply you bought it for $1.45 million. No. So I didn't know if that was just the house. So we agree that both parties agree that you purchased it for $2.75 million.
Yes.
Okay. But you feel that the total value is $2.4 million. So you bought it in 2021. It's 2024. You've done work on it, and we've had that conversation. So why do you feel that the value should be less than what you paid for it originally, when you also would agree that it has little more value because of what's been done?
Well, we actually took our engineering costs off of the purchase price, saying, okay, you know, that it's not worth what we paid for.
Okay.
But
that's a fair answer. So I it sounds like what I'm hearing is, yes, right now you're not you as the you're representing the owner, feel that the value hasn't changed from when you bought it, because even though the market in general has gone up, you feel that the value of your property hasn't really changed and it's actually gone down because you've spent money on it that you don't know whether you will recoup.
Correct. And when we anticipated this to be a six-month process, we didn't anticipate sitting here and even having this discussion.
Okay.
Let
me ask you this. If somebody came to you and offered to buy it, or you tried to go ahead and sell it because you want to deal with it, would you try and sell it for the same price that you bought it for?
That would be a question then for my owner to answer.
I reasonably speaking, we all know that you wouldn't. the value of the property is greater, even if you're just saying that you're not going to get it approved for the lots. So I guess from my perspective, I don't see that $2.4 million as reasonable at all. I'm not saying that I'm agreeing with the core's total value. I'm just saying I don't see that value as reasonable. And so the question that I have, and I'm going to ask the Corps first, and then I'm going to ask the appellant to answer in your own words, but if somebody comes, if I bought this property, which would be a big mistake because I don't know what I'm doing, but if somebody who did, though, they buy the property, are they going to go and start back at square one with a new plan, new approval, or would there be some type of, would there be some leg up? Would it be able to use some of the work that the owner has done for their plan?
My understanding is they would be able to use some of the work. How much of it? I don't know. I'm not part of building and development.
Yeah.
But they would not be starting from zero. They wouldn't have to recreate the engineering plan. As I said, they would. Whoever was buying it would do their due diligence. And to Mr. Snyder's point, they might go like, oh, this is where the problem was. 20 cluster lots and 4 rural economy lots is a little bit overzealous. We need to dial it back to 16 or 14 lots and 4 rural economy lots. That's fine, and that happens pretty regularly in the development world. And when the plans change, we get notified, and then we adjust the plan accordingly. Yes, for the previous year, as of January 1, we're saying 20 lots or 4 rural economy lots. If he changes it, you know, next month.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there because you're not answering the question I want to ask, which is, I think what I'm trying to get to is, I think your contention is there's more value on the property because of the work they've done that other people can rely on.
Yes.
Not about whether somebody takes the property but then changes how they're going to finally build it.
Right, okay.
So, in other words, they have sunk costs, but those sunk costs will benefit a new owner.
Correct.
That's your contention.
That's our contention.
Okay. Sure. So, Mr. Snyder, do you believe that there are no real benefits to a new owner with the sunk costs that you put in? That's my term, but, you know.
Right. I mean, if we were evaluating this ground or coming behind somebody else, we would look at it and look at the issues here, and we may come up literally with a number that's that at the 2.4 level just because the yield is not what we anticipated when we went and paid the 2.7. Mm-hmm. We paid 2.7 based on the assumption that we were going to get 24 lots and that it was going to be a 6-month process. So here we are 3 years later, and we don't know if we're going to get to 24. So it could work, you know, whether it would give them more knowledge, that whether that knowledge increases the value or decreases the value of the ground would be, you know, based upon the issues that we're running into.
Okay, thank you. And so, Mr. Skrkanich, my next question for you is, the methodology you've used, the approach that you've taken, is the same standard approach that you're using for similar lots and is consistent among other properties in Loudoun County?
It's the same process we use for all development projects in Loudoun County.
Okay, so it's standard across and uniform for
right.
Loudoun County
and,
assessments.
Right. And I can't change the way we value his property because that would create an inequity across everybody.
So does generally accepted appraisal standards require counties to follow what other counties do?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to follow the way another county
operates.
You can
just stop there. That's what I wanted to know. Sorry. because I don't want to drag it on too long because I've heard the same thing a couple times. So I want to get to the point. So last question that I have, I think that was the last question, yeah. So Mr. Skrkanich, I've heard you said and you wrote that it was 20 traditional and 4 cluster units.
20 cluster, 4 rural economy. 4 big lots.
So the worksheet here has 19 and 5, which means that I think the calculations are
wrong. 19, I'm sorry, 20, yeah. So it's 24 lots. So
okay.
I'm sorry,
so is it 20 and 4 or is it 19 and 5? Because that changes the number that you should have here.
Yeah, I would go by the worksheet.
So 19 and 5.
My apologies, yeah.
Okay, Mr. Snyder, is that your understanding that it's 19 and 5?
I'm confused. I'm trying to remember right now.
See,
I mean, it's not a big difference. I mean, it's definitely not the difference you're looking for, Mr. Snyder. It's only about a $100,000 difference.
It's about 75. Because it, okay, you would switch the two.
Yeah.
You'd get one more cluster and one less rural economy. So, but yeah.
Yeah, it would be a difference between 2.2 million and 2.1 million.
And it could be very well that I didn't update or correct the worksheet. So.
Okay.
But,
and I think the discussion we had last year was that the board was unaware that that's the way the county was operating and thought that if there was your decision last year was that didn't seem right.
I remember that conversation, and
that's why you ended up where you're at.
You're correct, from my memory.
And I was just shocked that that's the way Loudoun County does it, because it is, and I think if it ever got challenged on a legal basis, it wouldn't stand, honestly.
Okay. All right, so board members, is there any more questions, or does anyone have a motion? Mr. Tandale, you have a question.
One question. I mean, you said that you need to submit some plans to the county. That's the next step of yours? Or?
Yeah, we're submitting, we're continuing the plan
because
process.
Because it has been, you also admitted that it has been already 3 years and we are still in the process. Is the ball in your court or already, I mean, is it the ball in the court of the county? Who's delaying
it depends on the, right now we're waiting reviews of the last plan submission.
Maybe you're delaying so that the value will go up or appreciate it. I don't think so. Maybe business.
We can't speculate about what the appellant's intent is, what they share.
Yeah, the interest carry more than upsells.
From business perspective, I mean, maybe part
that's
of
what
the,
I had.
No, I got it on here too.
Buying more time, or I don't know. I'm just suggesting to you. So that's it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay, board members, do I have a motion, Mr. Kearse?
Regarding PIN 51017111800, I move that we approve the Corps' assessed value of $2,206,800 for the land, $1,601,640 for the improvements, for a total value of $3,808,440.
Do I have a second? I'll second it for discussion.
So my discussion, I wasn't here last year, so I missed that meeting, so this is new to me. I have to comment, I don't like the methodology that the county uses. I would agree with the appellant's dislike of being charged for something that hasn't occurred yet. However, whether I like or not like something isn't what my role is in here. My role is to make sure the county is treating everybody fairly, the same level, therefore equalized. That this is the process that the county uses for all development projects such as this, which they have affirmed. They also have a process of discounting that amount. In this case, 40% was discounted. And if certain information is provided to them, they could discount it even more. So based on the fact that they do have an ability, that there is an ability for a landowner to get that number reduced, and that this is the practice and policy this county uses, don't care what any other county does, that is why I made my motion to approve the value.
Any other questions, board member, Ms. Goodrum?
I was here last year, but I think you've said, articulate what I think too. I think that's great because our role is to, you know, make sure everything's being done fairly. So I feel like a parent. I am a parent.
Mr. Fugue.
One thing I do see different from last year, my recollection is that you were dealing with conditions that unless you were able to overcome those conditions, the project would not be approved. Because I feel the same way as Cliff and Chrissy about this. I think you've come a lot farther on the project and value has been added to what you have there. So that's, I just wanted to share that.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from board members? Okay. All those in favor of the motion as stated, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. So that motion passed 5-0. So thank you for coming in, Mr. Snyder. I mean,
nothing but you can get this approved at this point.
Let's put the turtles in the back.
All right. Do we have the next appellant, Sugarland Villas, LLC? I don't have a contact person, do we?
No.
Let's see. That was at 5:30. Okay. So, yeah, we'll go ahead. Let me see. So we'll go ahead and go ahead to appeal 5691, Sugarland Villas, LLC. It does not look like the representative is here right now. We did get a confirmation, but we didn't get anything saying they would not be here. I thought we had a notarized letter from them. I don't print those out, but you can just verify they have a notarized.
I don't see them.
We don't have one from them?
I don't see one. This is their...
Okay. So, like the first case, board members, we don't have a notarized letter for representation. Then it's the board's decision whether or not to take up this appeal. So I'll ask board members, are board members interested in taking up appeal 5691 for Sugarland Villas? Okay, I am seeing no interest from the board, so this appeal will be, I guess, vacated. Is that the proper word?
Dismissed.
We won't hear it because they're not here to represent themselves, and they don't have a notarized letter saying to hear them. So appeals 5691 will not be heard by the board, and which means the appraisal will stand. Or assessment.
Good night.
Let me do the opposite.
Yeah. So the next, so it's 5:35. So the next appeal is also scheduled for 5:30 p.m. It's appeal number 6714, Dennis O'Neill. Is Mr. O'Neill here? Mr. O'Neill indicated that he would attend the hearing. Do we have a notarized letter? Presidential, probably.
There was nothing submitted with this application at all, but the actual paper here.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the same issue for appeal number 6714, Dennis O'Neill, 43848 Sphinx Ferry Road. So it's the same issue, board members. Are there board members that are interested in hearing this appeal case?
The appellant is absent.
All right. So I'm seeing no interest in the board, so we will also vacate appeal 6714. And, of course, assessment will stand. The next appeal is scheduled for 6 p.m., so we will adjourn to allow them to show up.
So one, you go ahead and turn it off.